morning, Nashville.
Hey, 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 Nashville.
Welcome to Uprising. I am Christy Shea Moore, pastor of Bellevue Presbyterian Church, and I am joined by my co-host,
David Ross.
David Ross. We are glad to be back. It seems like it's been forever since we did one of these shows, David.
It does. It's weird.
Hope you all have
been a week.
Happy Thanksgiving. And we are now in the midst of the hustle and bustle of you know what.
I don't know what. What's coming up?
How about a clue?
It's December.
A clue. An audio clue.
Okay.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
With the kids. That's right.
Yes.
I almost forgot. There hasn't been enough, you know, advertising or music to remind me.
To remind you, it's the most wonderful time of the year. Or is it?
Dun, 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 dun. Dun.
So, Chris, it's hard to miss Christmas. It is everywhere that we turn, and it is, of course, a very important season in the life of the church. In fact, it is preceded by Advent, which begins this Sunday, it's first Sunday in Advent. And I love Advent because I think it's all about preparation and being mindful of needing Christ. But Christmas sometimes has gotten far away from its original intention or intent. But we thought we would, now that we are in December, start talking about Christmas here on Uprising. So wondered, just as a way to get the ball rolling, what are some of your favorite Christmas memories or traditions, David?
Memories or traditions. There was a good one. I have a good one about 2 years ago. Every year I go to New Jersey. I'm from Pennsylvania, and my mom's family's in New Jersey, and we visit everybody at Culver Lake, and there's a lake we always go hang out by. But a couple years ago, it was like unseasonably warm, and so we decided, I think it was my dad's idea, to all go down there and do a polar bear dip in Culver Lake, and it was a good time. I thought it was going to become a tradition where we do that like every year, but it was unseasonably warm, so I don't know. It was like global warming.
I think that would be hard to pull off when it's super frigid.
Oh yeah, because it was still like the water still knocked the wind out of you.
Uh-huh. That would be memorable though. Definitely a good Christmas memory.
That was fun. This is when I was a kid. We went to my grandparents' house, also in New Jersey, and I thought it would be fun to dress up as Santa Claus because my little cousin, Ashley, she was like 5 or 6 at the time, I thought it would be fun to dress up as Santa Claus and see if I could convince her, and it indeed worked, and she thought I was the real deal.
Wow.
And
did you break her heart when she found out that you weren't really Santa Claus?
She has an older brother, and he was kind of on to me from the get-go, and then he like caught me like changing. Uh-huh. Like, you're not the real Santa. And
did they tell you that you sit on a throne of lies?
She did. That 6-year-old girl looked at me in the eyes. She said, no.
Little elf reference there. Great Christmas movie.
I didn't catch that. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So, what are your favorite Christmas memories?
My Christmas memories that are the best are ones of my grandmother did a lot of cooking at Christmas, and so we had so many cookies. I cannot believe I wasn't like really obese as a child, considering how we were always plied with cookies and cakes and pies. But we had 2 kitchens in our house, and so in kind of the basement of the house, she did most of her cooking, and I could just remember the kitchen table down there being full of cookies. And she would freeze cookies in the deep freeze, and we would have them for a long time throughout the Christmas season. And then she'd wrap them up in nice little trays, and they became awesome gifts for people. She's made really good cookies. Yeah. So that's one of my favorites. I also have a memory, though, about traditions that come from out of being a pastor. You know, and one of the things that makes the holidays a little different when you're a pastor is that you're also working so much with the traditions and working with the Christmas story and also particularly the Christmas Eve services. So I've, you know, not been able to do Christmas Eve with family for a long time. But when I was first in ministry at a church, and we'd had a tradition as a family that we went to my great-grandparents' house when I was younger, and we would do Christmas with them. And so we pretty much never went to church on Christmas Eve. And that just became one of those habits that really until I was in seminary and attending churches and such, well, did I go to some of those services. But I remember one of my first Christmas Eve services, I did not include Silent Night as the last song.
Ooh.
I now think of it as the year that I stole Christmas, because it did not go over well.
That's pretty evil. How could you leave out Silent Night?
I know. I just thought there's so many other songs. You could do something different. We left with Go Tell It on the Mountain, which I thought was just a great message to have, that we're to go and share the Christmas story. But that was not how it was received. But I learned my lesson pretty quick about Christmas traditions.
People did not tell it on the mountain after that.
No. They told me that I was not allowed to steal Christmas again. So I had to do Silent Night or I would pay. But I think it underscores that at Christmas, people have really high expectations. And there is a piece that was done through the Orange Ministry. Orange is a ministry for families that we use and are part of at my church. And it was, Orange stands for what happens when you unite red, which is the heart of the family, and yellow, which is the light of the Christ, and you get orange. But one of the women that writes for them, Kristen Ivey, did a piece on growing up in a divorced family and how hard Christmas can be. And she said something that really struck me in that, and that's that we never hold our expectations or traditions or pictures of family tighter than we do during the holidays. So I think we go into Christmas with a lot of expectations, and sometimes that can make them really hard on us. And we are bombarded also with all sorts of ads and flyers and commercials about what the perfect Christmas looks like. And generally, it involves lots of shopping and crowds and traffic and going into debt and feeling like you have to get the perfect gift, but you don't know what the perfect gift is. So there's a song that I think could be good. And I just introduced this guy to you, David. I think he's really an awesome singer-songwriter. Scott Kirpane has a song called Christmas Time Is Here. So see if this speaks to you, dear friends in Nashville and around the country. So let's listen to Scott Kirpane.
Stockings are by the fire, the tinsel is on the tree, the cookies are in the oven, It's a Wonderful Life is on TV. Frantically wrapping presents, getting cards out to all my friends. It's been a time is here again. Oh, yeah. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer sing about a silent night. And I don't have time to listen. I still got some gifts to buy. I'm charging them on my Visa. I'll pay it off when the season ends. It's been a time is here again. You see, I'm on the run. There's so much to be done, and there's only a few days to go. Speeding through town, I almost ran down some carolers in the snow. I gave the Salvation Army a dollar, and I asked them not to ring that bell. I saw an old friend on the corner, and he asked See, I realized I'd forgotten, while the wise men followed the star, while the angels appeared to the shepherds, while Mary and Joseph traveled so far. The reason why we celebrate happened 2,000 years before, when the whole world stopped for a moment, and Christ the Savior was born. So before you blow out your candles, before you turn out the light, when you kneel down with your family in the silence of this night, remember a newborn baby in the little town of Bethlehem, and let it all become clear why Christmas time is here again. May it all become clear why Christmas time is here.
Okay, that was Scott Crepane. Am I saying that right?
I think so. We're sorry, Scott, if we are mangling your name.
Yeah, it's got to be it. Scott Crepane with Christmas Time is Here Again. Man, I'm always envious of guys that can rock the piano and sing really well.
He's very talented. Yeah. He's got really some good. Great Christmas music out there.
Nice. So, yeah, he talked a lot about, in that song, the hustle and bustle of Christmas, and we all have experienced a bit of that, right. some more than others, but...
And he says it can push the manger farther away, you know, and I think that's true. So we've looked at this episode as like a survival guide to Christmas. So if Christmas is all about the story of, you know, God coming to earth in the form of this humble, vulnerable baby who is not born in a castle or in the midst of pomp and circumstance, you know, how are there ways that you have, you know, tried to keep the focus on Christ in Christmas, or what are ways that you, David, might try to not get sucked into what is sometimes called the Christmas machine?
The machine as in the hustle and bustle, kind of like what Scott was talking about.
Exactly, and particularly how consumeristic the season gets, and you know, that we get so incredibly busy too, that how do you take time to be mindful?
Yeah, no, that's good. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because that's unfortunately the consumer society. I think it takes you out of the present moment, and it makes you kind of long for stuff or things you don't have, and then your mind is, you know, you're thinking about things you don't have, and maybe you're comparing your life to someone else's. And I wanted to share a quote here. This I was reading a blog called Flourish Online. This girl Kendra Juskis wrote this, and she includes a quote from E.B. White, who was the author of Stuart Little and Charlotte's Web. And he apparently saw a demonstration of the first TV in 1938, and he had some thoughts about what, it was kind of like a prediction he was making about the effect of TV. And he says, clearly the race is between the loudspeaking and the soft, between the chemist of RCA and the angel of God. Radio has already given sound a wide currency, and sound effects are taking the place once enjoyed by sound itself. Television will enormously enlarge the eye's range, and like radio, will advertise the elsewhere, and he capitalizes elsewhere. Together with the tabs, the mags, and the movies, it will insist that we forget the primary and the near in favor of the secondary and the remote. More hours in every 24 will be spent digesting ideas, sounds, images, distant and concocted. That's in 1938.
Wow.
Observation by E.B. White. So he's talking about the television, but mm-hmm. I think that applies to so much more, and just that idea of being taken out of the present and what you do have, and worrying about what you don't have.
Well, I think that Christ came into the world to, you know, bring hope and peace and joy and love, and to usher in a kingdom that is very different than the kingdom of this world, that is, you know, driven to consume and try to fill this hole that we fill in our lives. And all the more at Christmas, I think that, you know, the holidays have a way of bringing pain to the surface of our lives. And so I think it's so important to get back to the fact that Jesus came to help people, and particularly people who were impoverished and marginalized and not, you know, not the beautiful faces that we see, you know, from Madison Avenue telling us the diamonds we need to buy at Christmas or whatever the latest fad or gadget or what is going to make everything just perfect in our lives. But if you go back to that first Christmas, I think it's just such a profound story in Luke 2 to see that in the shadow of living in occupied, you know, Roman Empire and the mention of Caesar Augustus, who, you know, it's ironic to me that figures like Caesar and Herod and Pontius Pilate, these people get their most notoriety from being connected to this humble, you know, vulnerable baby who grows into the man who was Jesus. And we recite that and we'll hear that Luke 2 reading, you know, again and again in the coming weeks. But remember that story, you know, originally the announcement comes from the angels to the shepherds. And the shepherds who were abiding, you know, with their flocks by night, they were people that, you know, others stayed away from. They were considered the riffraff and the, you know, the least of these that Jesus later refers to in Matthew 25. And those are the people that Jesus came for. And they become the messengers of the story of the Messiah being born in the world. And so I think this kind of got us to another one of our questions about, you know, what turns you into a Scrooge at Christmas. And one of the things mm-hmm. that I really wrestle with is the whole war on Christmas, that idea. I don't see how a retailer saying happy holidays is a war on Christmas, because I don't think it's their story to tell. Our story to tell.
People that are overly defensive.
Very,
of
very
Christmas.
Defensive. That
I see.
You know, I think we forget that retailers are there because they want to make money. And there are a lot of people who worship differently. We are the people that are supposed to be sharing our worship story. And so one of the things that helped in my church is through an idea that the three pastors started, and it's now spread to thousands of churches, but it's called Advent Conspiracy. So it's a sense of pastors and parishioners conspiring to kind of take back Christmas and remember that we're the ones to tell the story. It has four major tenets to it, and it's worship fully, spend less, give more, and love all. And I've found being centered on that to be incredibly transformative in my own life, but also in the life of my congregation, because we lift up a couple of things that the people can give toward if they want to do alternative giving. So it's not getting, you know, that tie for Uncle Joe that he neither wants or needs, but it's a way of saying at Christmas, when remember for the most of us, Christmas is not your birthday. I don't know if a lot of people realize that it's not your birthday unless you happen to be born on December 25th. And then it totally is. But otherwise, it's Jesus' birthday. And so I do want to play a little snippet from one of the pastors who started Advent Conspiracy, and his name is Rick McKinley. And so we'll hear him talk a little bit about sharing the story, and again, keeping in mind how it was the shepherds who first went back and announced, you know, to the world what they'd seen. So let's listen to Rick share a few things about Christmas.
All right.
The question becomes, what are we announcing with our worship? I get so kind of tired of watching the news around Christmas and seeing the big scandal that this store or this mall or whatever it was, they don't say happy, they say happy holidays, not Merry Christmas, and we get angry at that. I kind of have to scratch my head and go, is that their story to tell? Or is it our story to tell? Like, are we really, have we abdicated our worship so much that we're expecting the mall to tell the story of Christ? If we worship with our lives, whether we worship the worship of shepherds who show up and announce to the world, or we worship like wise men with all our resource, it's that fullness of worship that tells the better story. And that's a story that can't be diminished to a slogan or a tagline like Happy Holidays or Merry Christmas. That's a story that gets announced to the world that says God has given a son, and that changes everything.
That was The Advent Conspiracy, and wow, really awesome insight there. It's,
mm-hmm. What resonates with you about what he said?
Well, I like the idea of, is it their story to tell, or is it ours? So it's like, should we really be getting upset about
what the Starbucks barista does?
Yes. Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly. And yeah. I mean, those stories are, they're goofy and kind of funny to hear about, but I guess there is a war on Christmas and people do struggle with that. And it's just another distraction, I guess. Like, just like the consumerism stuff and worrying about what we're going to buy, we can worry, or we can get distracted by like defending Christmas, yeah, or our religion or something. So that's,
I think I finally came to, yeah, accept some time back that God doesn't really need my defending him, that he's big enough to do that. I guess if, you know, yeah, there's a war on Christmas, which I just still don't like that whole idea. But if there is one, I think it is against what is really the story. And that at Christmas, again, back to something that I saw on these orange blogs and from Kristen Ivey and her sister, as they talked about growing up in a divorced family, she said, if we want to find joy this season with the people we love most, we may have to lower our expectations and hold our pictures loosely and embrace our new story exactly as it is in this season. And I think that's where the Christmas story, that, you know, Jesus came to people where they were, spoke in their own language. And so coming to the shepherds first for a group that would have had so much more to covet or aspire to, and yet it's to them that this good news initially comes. And they are the ones who then go, of course, tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born, the Messiah is born.
And speaking of shepherds and the birth of Christ, got another song for you. And I am so excited about this album because it is a Christmas album by one of my favorite DJs and electronic music producers, Cascade, making a foray into Christmas music. You don't see it very often. And this is his version of The First Noel.
The First Noel. Cold winter's night.
Noel, as done by Cascade, one of my favorite DJs. Christy, I saw you dancing over there a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Doing a little jig.
A little Christmas jig.
Yeah, how can you keep from it? That's what a great mashup, too, of electronic music, dance music, and an ancient hymn of the church.
Right.
Exactly. Speaking of the church, we got our steady gig at the church, which will be at 10:30 this morning, and invite you to come by and do Christmas with us.
Yes.
We will be entering into the Advent season, preparing our hearts for Christ. And also would invite you the evening of December 17th. We have a great service called Light for the Longest Night, where you will hear some incredible Christmas music, some of it coming from my friend David here. And we will have a few other guests, and our choir and the full band will play. And it'll be a great night, so please come. And
definitely.
Before we go, any other words of wisdom that might help us survive this holiday season?
For our survival guide, we have some words from Paul out of Philippians 4. He says, I've learned by now to be quite content, whatever my circumstances. I'm just as happy with little as with much as with little. I've found the recipe for being happy, whether full or hungry, hands full or hands empty. Whatever I have, wherever I am, I can make it through anything in the one who makes me who I am. So don't be concerned about not having enough, because you are enough. You've got what it takes. God's got this.
Absolutely. And it is his season, and it's a season of hope and peace and joy and love. And so we wish that for you. We're going to have to sign off here, but how can they find past episodes of the show, David?
Check us out on iTunes and podomatic.com. Just search for Bellevue Presbyterian Uprising.
And may the peace of the Lord be with you this season. Peace out, Nashville.
Peace out.